As COVID-19 grips the world, the authorities in Barbados and elsewhere are warning that you check credible sources for your information. In Barbados, Starcom Network Inc. is your most credible source for news and information, bringing you the latest developments on the coronavirus crisis every day. The stations of the Starcom Network, your most credible source for news and information.
Latest health updates on health-related events and developments.
Minister of Health and Wellness, Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Bostick, with an assurance to the public of Barbados.
Beyond a shadow of a doubt, we take this thing very seriously, and we will engage with the country if and when we have a case in Barbados. We will continue to speak to this country and to keep people informed, and it is because we are all in this together, and there's no way that we could have persons. I heard about 67 persons at Harrison's Point when the facility is not even ready yet. But I guarantee Barbadians that whenever and if ever we have COVID confirmed cases in Barbados, that the Ministry of Health and Wellness and certainly the Minister of Health and Wellness will inform the country.
That's The Latest Health, a production of the Starcom Network.
Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Hi, how are you?
I am very well. I am one of the very senior people in Barbados, and so my doctor and my family have put some tabs on me. And,
what have they told you?
I can't go to church. I'm not a mall person or anything, but I have to avoid going to parties or going to church or going to prayer meetings or anything. I mean, most of these things have been cancelled even in my church. But what hurt me was someone to drop the remark that I'm paranoid. I am a very well-trained nurse from England. I'm very senior. I have health problems. So I used my common sense. Of course, I must say that I did not want to not go to church. I didn't care about the other things. But anyway, I was obedient and I stayed home. This morning, my favorite place to walk is to go behind Big B to the lily pond and look at the fish and the turtles. I crossed Rendezvous Hill without any cars. And I came back from walking all around and no cars on Rendezvous Hill. So it's not just me or people like me who are staying home. People in Barbados are definitely staying home.
So why did it upset you so much to hear someone say that you were paranoid? Under what circumstances?
Because I'm not a paranoid person. I'm very gregarious. I have a reputation for chit-chatting to anyone I see, to speak to anybody. I have always been like that.
So this was said by somebody in church, somebody around the house?
No. Somebody said it, not to my face. And so somebody repeated it to me. And it hurt me, because that is not Elaine. Elaine is madness, happy, always keeping noise. So what I want to say to people, that those of us who segregate ourselves from others are doing it for our benefit, but also for the benefit of other people, because we are the ones who would catch it first, and we would be the ones to spread it. And that's all I have to say, and ask everyone, be kind, pray, believe, and have faith, and then things won't happen. People tell me, why, you don't have to worry, Bajan, God is a Bajan.
That's what they tell you?
Yes, plenty of people have told me.
The essence of complacency, boy.
Yes, because somebody saw me and said, oh, I didn't see you at church. I said, no, I didn't go to church. But you don't know God is a baby. You don't have to worry about that. We ain't have nothing here, and it isn't coming here, all of that. And the person was one side of Rendezvous Road, and I was the other side of Rendezvous Road. We're talking to each other across the road. There was no traffic, Mr. Ellis. It. You have to see it to believe it, because it's always bumper to bumper to bumper. I never walk on Rendezvous Road. I walk in my neighborhood because of traffic and because of how crazy people drive. But this morning, somebody said to me, you can walk anywhere, there's no traffic. So I went to see, because that's me. I went and I walked, and I love that lily pond and the turtles and the fish and all. I walked around it several times. I take exercise every day because that's part of me. So, you know, you don't know what to say.
These two schools of thought. You have people who believe it should be taken seriously now.
Yes.
That the government of Barbados should perhaps be doing more now. And then there are those who say, look, I think that this is nothing but hysteria and a lot of unnecessary behavior. And it is only going to crush economic activity and force people into a state of panic that is unnecessary. I suppose there's a middle ground somewhere there as well. But as happens in so many other aspects of life, we have to contend with the fact that there are always diverging views on how you fix a problem. And a lot depends upon who is in the dominant position. The person in the dominant position can say, well, my view will prevail because it is informed by these factors, and these issues, and that sort of thing. So that's where we are. And I can understand you stung by the idea that you're being accused of being paranoid because you say, well, in these circumstances, my doctor and my family, and sometimes...
And my son, Guy Hewitt, is an Anglican priest. He's closed his church in Florida. And he is like me. He's full of life. Everybody's his friend. And if he would tell me, Mummy, be obedient. Don't you think I should be obedient? And I am obedient. It's very hard for me because I am not an obedient person. If you tell me don't climb that wall, I will still try to climb it. That has been my all my life. But I had to be obedient because now not only my health, but I can impact somebody else's health. And that is more important.
Well, I think that's a responsible approach to take. And, you know, it isn't necessary to take chances in these circumstances. So I wish you well. Thank you very much for calling us. Down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon, David.
Hi, good afternoon.
I don't know if you could check on this email. Some person just sent me an email saying that the Cuban government presented the Chinese government with some serum, which they tested on 7 persons who have completely recovered from the virus.
I don't know. Let me say to you that one has to be exceedingly careful with all the internet-based information, the social media stuff that goes around. I said earlier that I would expect that if we have a cure, an established cure, that the Cuban government would certainly make that knowledge available to the government of Barbados. Barbados and Cuba are not countries that have had any hostilities between them. I hear some talk about the government of St. Vincent reaching out to Cuba. But I would also believe that given the closeness that some people who are also close to the government of Barbados have with the government of Cuba, that would be, I mean, a given that we would have a discussion about what they have and what we can get out of it. So I really don't want to delve into that kind of talk until I can see.
Well, I don't know if you could check it with the World Health Organization and those people like that.
Well, I see everybody, so many people are sending information out about this thing. And I mean, you're looking for something that can give you a quick fix to the problem. From all that I've heard, the World Health Organization is saying there is no real vaccine against it. I think it's interferon or something like that. Somebody told me is the name of the
drug. Yeah, it's a serum, so yeah.
I really can't tell you. I will have to get more information on that so that we could, speak more. It's the doctors who really should be talking about it. If it's available, and available to Barbadians. I certainly would be surprised if our doctors were not going to take it seriously. In the briefings that we have had so far, there has been no indication that there is anything on the market that is a vaccine. Now, we have to distinguish between a vaccine and something that can treat the actual illness. But they will have to advise on that. You see a ray of hope with it?
Yeah, I think so. The Chinese seem to think that thing that the Cubans have now discovered a gold mine.
Well, there are all sorts of things that are floating about. I saw a piece of information saying that the Chinese have checkmated the Americans and the Europeans because with the stock market crash, it is the Chinese that have also bought up a lot of the stock. I don't know. I haven't been able to verify that. I don't know.
All right. Okay, David.
Okay, thank you. Down to Brass Sacks. Hello.
Mr. Ellis, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon.
I hope you've bought yourself some Clorox, some hand sanitizer, and the other amenities to ward off the COVID-19. Now, Mr. Ellis, listening to your first caller worrying about a few weeks of import cover and other stuff in terms of food, I don't think it's fair to make such assumptions in terms of panic and stuff. That's the first thing for the caller and other people out there. But some questions have to be asked, David, and namely, remember back in December 2019, our Prime Minister was adamant about the fact that Beijing needed to get these bushy lots and stuff cleaned. We needed to present a clean and tidy face, not only for ourselves, but for the visitors we duly expected for the regathering exercise that's currently ongoing. And it speaks to helping in trying to get some of those lands that were idle for so long to get them back into food production. This crisis and everything that surrounds it hopefully is the final eye-opener that we have to get into serious food production.
Man, look, you see this agricultural sector that you're talking about and food production? I want you to ask the government to look at the range of incentives over time that have been given to the agricultural sector and why we have not seen the kind of returns that we expected. This is not something that is going to be achieved by magic and just talk. You know, this is a sector which, to a large extent, it is driven by the private sector. And it is also a victim of the cut and thrust between private sector and the state and the trade union movement. It is what I talked about earlier, where there is a lack of trust, there's a lack of confidence, there is this notion that one is out to rip off the next. You know, if you really want to feel the tension of the past, I find it exists in agriculture more than anything else. And in that environment, how can you get anywhere? Am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong, David. But I think the time has come that Beijing have to make the final decision on what is deemed to be an essential service. The way we look at healthcare, the way we look at transportation, the way we look at education, and in the first instance, the way we look at being able to feed ourselves. This has to come into that ambit. This has to play. I think that a lot of the mistrust when we talk about agriculture stems from the fact how the major sugar producers were treated by the government of the day back in the past. And that has fed into what we see taking place now. And the commercial side of things, when we talk about private sector thing, you are still getting top dollar for selling the land as opposed to trying to fight with it and trying to grow produce. And if we say that the majority of our peoples, whether it be Bajans or throughout the West Indian diaspora, are outside of the West Indies, why can't we look at selling the excess of our produce to our peoples who are outside of these islands?
But part of that is the transportation issue. That's part of it. The other part of it is the marketing of it to them, because don't forget, a lot of these people have now become immersed in the environment in which they live. And there are some people who still hold on to the thing. But let me say this to you. You take London and New York. Those people get a lot of these things that they eat here from all of Latin America and South America and stuff, you know. If you go into the market, and out of from Korea and them places, so you see the same yam and sweet potato and everything. I mean, when I have gone to New York, I found that you never lack for any of those things. They didn't come from the Caribbean. Those things are already being produced by other people, the Mexicans and all of them people, so.
I'm glad you mentioned South America, David, because each time ministers open their mouths, they tend to feed the Bajan public the garbage about WTO, etc., etc. Right now, as we speak, David, there's a policy in place in a South American country, I'm just going to name one, that's Colombia, where imports coming out of Europe and other places have been put on hold. And people basically have to consume what is grown in Colombia first.
But Colombia got enough land. It has the capacity to produce quite a lot. That's why it can do that. It can embark on that kind of import substitution program because of what it has available to it. We, on the other hand, we are limited. 1 minute you plant onions, everybody got onions. When the onions come to market, they're too many. The other day there was a glut of tomatoes. Tomatoes were selling at $1 a pound. you know? So, in that climate, farmers feel something has gone wrong here. There has long been, I can tell you, from the days when Carmita Fraser was alive, they used to be talking about the need for us to have a system where you are able to monitor what is going to be planted 5 months from now, make sure that there's no glut and all of that. But tomatoes were selling at $1 a pound just a few weeks ago. And another day it would be okras and that sort of thing. So we can't, it seems that system, for all that technology allows us to do, that system has not really kicked in across the board in the way that we expected it to. Now, on the other side of the coin, I must tell you, the people I admire immensely, I don't see their books. But what I see from them in terms of produce is just fascinating, and that is the people who produce the herbs. I mean, and specialty lettuce and stuff like that. Barbados has done very well in that regard. How much of that is going to export, I do not know. But I know when it comes to the domestic market, that has grown very, very well. But it's not something that is. This is not something that is going to be achieved merely by saying we need to or we have to. There's got to be, everybody got to be working at this together. The same issue here with the COVID, you know. We all have to be working on it together. It's not just the government of Barbados. It is the people of Barbados as well.
But then if we're going to talk about COVID, basically, the Caribbean government has tied because the cruise ships, as you would know, Dennis would know this, that the cruise ships shove what they want down the government's throat. They hold the government to ransom because if Barbados doesn't accept them, the Jamaicans are going to be willing to accept them. If the Jamaicans don't, the people in the Bahamas are going to do it. So they're just basically playing each island against each other. And that is one of the...
But they ran out of players on COVID, though. They ran out of plays on that one because they're accustomed beating us around the heads. You see what they did to Jamaica the other day when Jamaica and Cayman Islands decided that they weren't going to take the ship And then they said, listen, we're banning you. That particular line said, we're not coming to you. I think it was Carnival. So we're not coming to you. You're going to pay a price for that. The only thing that stopped them was eventually they had to stop, because I think the American president is the one who must have influenced them to stop moving for about 30 days or something like that.
But so. this is really something that we've got to sit down and trash out. I hope that some good can come out of all this within the next 60 to 90 days. I hope finally that people can see the reason why our Prime Minister is really agitating for a one Caribbean voice on all of these measures, because right now, basically, all of our peoples are at peril and through no fault of our own.
We are vulnerable. Will we be less vulnerable after COVID-19? I don't know. I really don't know. I wait to see. Will it leave us stronger or weaker? This is down to brass tacks.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
From Toronto.
Hi.
Okay, so I'm calling from Toronto.
Yes, it's a pleasure to have you.
Yes, I just heard you said that somebody could call and give an update. Yep. So basically, the same as New York City, we're experiencing the same measures that are being put in place here. Some workplaces have already started laying off people, putting them on employee insurance, which is unemployment.
Yeah.
Like the restaurants and stuff now is just orders, takeout, no dining in. The grocery stores are basically like empty. I don't know if the holding back stock and even cold produce and stuff, like the shelves are basically bare. The gyms, the schools, everything, all they ask that persons, like more than 250 people, not supposed to be in one third place at a time. So they're closing down all these public facilities. The streets are basically like ghost town. Like, people are just in fear and panic. I don't know if they're hoarding or if they're just shopping in case of, like, other emergencies. I don't know, they're thinking long-term, like, strategically.
So what's the situation? What's the situation where you are?
Oh, so, like, my workplace. I work in the healthcare, so right now we're kind of on a lockdown. Checking temperatures and stuff on visitors. If it gets more than they can handle, I guess we're going to have to make a complete lockdown, like no visitors or families allowed into the facility. They're encouraging the hygiene, the hand washing, and, you know, they're asking you to be safe. Like, but you can't just tell somebody has a temperature or somebody's feeling sick. People probably would know that they're feeling sick and they would say no. And they were still coming to work or coming to these places with masks amongst the people congregating. So, like, how safe is it for us? I don't know. Even the public transit, the people are already crying out on the public transit.
What are they saying there?
Well, people are not, I think, though, people, I'm not, like, being racial, but I think people, they're seeing, because they were asking people not to identify persons from certain ethical backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
So people, once they see people from a certain continent, or they're looking that like features, people are avoiding them, like thinking they're kind of like just stereotyping, basically.
Well, I heard somebody put it this way: say New York, they're not going to the Chinese restaurants because they behave as though the virus hanging out there. So
yes, that's the grocery part of stores it. And the restaurants are complaining like businesses on a down low.
Yeah.
People are, like, avoiding or refusing to go to those places. So, I don't know. But I think long-term, in a couple of months, it's not just the virus. It's what's going to happen to the economy and the manufacturing sector, the employment sector, like, trade. It's going to really affect us. Because right now, like, shipments and stuff are not even allowed into the country. So
you told me that you are in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
In Toronto, Canada. At the end of the day, how does this affect you personally?
Well, like, to be honest, I'm just trying to be, like, calm. Like, I just do with what I have. I go in a day at a time. I'm not going to go stock up because there's nowhere to stock up because there's nothing to buy. So it's like we only have a certain amount in our household. So so you can run a certain amount of time. So what about say over 2 weeks and we run out of stuff. The grocery store doesn't have anything. Walmart doesn't have anything. Costco, which is one of our big wholesale clubs here, like PriceMart, they're already running out of stock. Like, the shelves of beer everywhere. I just try not to panic. They're, like, kind of screening flights now out of the country. They're even asking Canadians that are living outside or they're outside from vacations or whatever, if they can shorten their trips and try to get back in. So it seems as though the borders are going to be closed off.
Wow.
Pretty soon. Yeah, and the Prime Minister is supposed to make a speech at 1 o'clock, so we're just waiting to hear what he's really going to say. But it seems like all the borders are going to be on lockdown. So who's out would stay out, and we can't guarantee how long they would get back in, how soon they'll be able to come back in.
You have relatives living here in Barbados still, I assume?
Yes, my parents and my siblings.
How you feel about them from that distance?
Well, I communicate with them, like, basically, especially my mom, I communicate with her every day, like, more than once a day, and I was looking to get a flight for her to come up, but in the next couple of weeks. But I can't guarantee myself if I buy the flight, then if they're already, like, closing off the borders, if she'll be able to come into the country. So, I'm just on a standstill.
Based upon what you've seen in New York and what you're seeing in Toronto, Canada,
mm-hmm.
What advice?
Beijing are not like, Beijing are nowhere near our crisis right now. And we are like a big city. So, like, what I'm hearing and seeing going on in Barbados, and people are rushing and buying and buying and buying, they have not even gotten to the stage where we're at yet. So, I don't even know. On a little 166 square miles, I don't know, like, when it really hits Barbados and the measures become, like, strict and tightened, what they're going to do.
What advice would you give to us now?
We can be always prepared. There's no sense really and truly, like, hoarding and stocking, because if there's nothing to buy, what else can you do? You're probably going to have to go back to the olden days where they live off bakes or muffins or something that you probably have to do, like, if they, like, stay on the house arrest or something for 2 weeks. I know. They're going to cry out. They're going to cry out. I don't see them dealing with this crisis if it really comes there. Thank God, knock on wood, we don't have any cases in Barbados yet.
And for you, what's the next thing on your mind as you look at how it is evolving where you are?
To be honest with you, I just try not even to think about that because, like, as I said, I don't know where this is heading. I don't know. To be honest, the way it's going and it's moving rapidly like this and all these measures are being put in place, is like, I guess everybody's going to be having to stay home. Like, nobody's going to be allowed to probably leave their houses, or there's nothing that you'll be able to come out there to do because everything is going to be closed.
But as a health worker, you can't work from home.
No. And, like, they're really getting down on us here. Like, so in the facility, they're really getting down on us.
How?
And, so they had, like, a lockdown from last week where they everything is being disposed of, like, disposable wear, as opposed, like, resident dining and stuff in the dining room. They usually have, like, a all-day cafe where they go and have snacks, fruits, yogurt, you know, coffee, tea, all that is no longer from last week Monday. So they're being served only certain times per day. Now, there were monitoring people coming into the facilities if they had already traveled within the last 2 weeks. You know, they're not allowed in. No, they're now doing temperature checks, and they've locked off all the doors. There's only one entrance in or one out. So, like, everybody is being screened. And people are already going in panic and fear because they feel like they're being in a prison. But it's for health and safety until we know better.
You are in contact with other Barbadians living in Toronto?
Yeah, I do.
What are they saying?
Well, everybody's just like a watch and see, because people are panicking, and the grocery stores can close their doors right now because there's nothing they have there to sell. Like, not even a case of water you can get.
Wow.
So we have to go back to boiling water, probably investing in some bridges, you know, or drinking it directly from the tap, probably making more tea, more coffee. Like, how are you going to get your fluids in?
Well, this is a first-hand account from a Barbadian mm-hmm. living in Toronto, Canada. I want to thank you for taking the time and sharing your experience with us, because there are many people living here who don't have a real appreciation of what people like you and others and those in New York are also going through. And
we had like gas stations where even running out of gas.
Well, so you have a real crisis, on your hands there. Well, thanks.
And our gas prices are kind of like reasonably cheap right now. It's like 83 cents a liter, which is dominantly cheap. I don't know how long that be going on, but it's only a matter of time that they would have that. And if they're not allowing shipment, like groceries and oil and fuel and whatever are not coming into the country because they're like on lockdown, these ships can't come in cargo. Like, what are we going to do?
All right. Thank you very much.
We probably got to buy some bicycles or something.
When's the last time you rode a bicycle?
To be honest, a few months ago, back in the summer.
Keeping fit. All right. Thank you very much for calling.
As COVID-19 grips the world, the authorities in Barbados and elsewhere are warning that you check credible sources for your information. In Barbados, Starcom Network Inc. is your most credible source for news and information, bringing you the latest developments on the coronavirus crisis every day. The stations of the Starcom Network, your most credible source for news and information.
This now out of Trinidad. The government there has instructed all bars to remain closed as it ramps up efforts to slow the spread of COVID-19, and this is reported by the Daily Express. The newspaper says the announcement was made today by Prime Minister Dr. Keith Rowley at an urgent post-cabinet media briefing. He said persons operating bars where people gather to drink and socialize, because our objective to deny the virus connections from person to person, we are instructing that gatherings beyond 25 be avoided at all costs, except under unavoidable circumstances. The report goes on to say that despite calls by the Ministry of Health over the past few days for citizens to practice social distancing, bars over the weekend were chock-a-block with people. That's typical Trinidad, isn't it? Rowley went on to admonish private schools not to disregard his instructions last week, Friday, that all schools are to remain closed this week. He said, "I've heard of some private schools who believe they are beyond these guidelines and instructions and may want to carry out their school programs. I am here appealing to such persons to join the national effort." So here you have it. The story out of Trinidad this afternoon is that the government has instructed all bars to remain closed. This is down to brass tacks. Hello? You're on the air. Hello? Welcome to the program. Let's transition to another call.
Hello?
Yes, welcome.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Mr. Ellis, in relation to agriculture, I can't believe people are saying that we don't have land for agriculture. If you look at St. John, take the Clicquot Plantation.
Who said that?
I get the impression, listening to the discussion earlier.
I didn't hear anybody say
I thought that was what was being said. Because
I didn't hear anybody say that at all.
Oh, because we have adequate land for agriculture. I mean, the university has about 28 acres of that Jukes, I think, the owners of Jukes gave
to
the
university. So why is agriculture not booming?
But because agriculture is hard work.
Oh, what is that?
The main reason why we not get... Look, let me give you the reality of agriculture. If you drive around Barbados, I mean, I remember I grew up in St. Peter's, a little boy walking to All Saints. When I drive down by Friday Hill and I see the plantations around here, and I could remember as a small boy walking to school, it was a joy to see the peas, the black eyes, the everything possible and so beautiful. No, what you see? Bush, right? And all around Barbados is the case.
Why?
I mean,
because it's hard work?
Well, it's hard work, and obviously it's difficult. I mean, the cost to produce is another matter. But then there's the question of the small farmers. I grew up also in a district where everybody used to have land, because the plantation that was sold out. And right now, there's nobody. The land is still there. The parents died and gone on. But some children are rascals and other types. And there's nothing being grown. So there's another problem. The problem, we are not producing anything in the country. Because naturally, agriculture is not easy work. It's hard work, and people don't like it. It's a fact.
So what about technology? You don't think that? What about technology? You know, once upon a time, when I saw a building being constructed in Barbados, it used to have so many people apparently working on it. These days, huge buildings go up. We hardly see many workers on the project. Agriculture remains that highly labor-intensive, as highly labor-intensive today as it used to be, let's say, 30, 40 years ago?
Well, listen, do not forget, the mechanizing agriculture, to me, has a cost, heavy cost. Take sugar, for example.
Okay, but let's accept that there's a cost attached to mechanization. You're saying that it is so high that it's prohibitive to mechanize and to use technology?
Do you think
you really believe, though, that we have enough of an insight into this national agricultural picture that we can really comment sensibly, most of us, about where we are in agriculture? I raise that because at the national level, what we get are bits and pieces, but the kind of investigation that is required that will ultimately give us a better picture is really missing, you know.
Well, let me ask you a question. Throughout my life in Barbados, right, you recognize the whole agriculture is treated by all the governments down the years. Agriculture is one of the least ministries.
That's true.
In fact,
I don't agree with that.
To me, they don't take it seriously. And then not only that, but you know that sometimes when they want to punish a civil servant, they send to the Minister of Agriculture. I've seen that several times. Taken by the Minister of Education, send them out there because, well, they want to punish them to send
the person. Let me tell you something. You know, we don't want to be honest about a couple of things, you know. You know that on both sides of the fence, within the private sector and within the public sector, everybody is trying to trick everybody else.
maybe so.
You know that is part of the problem?
I know. I realize that's part of the problem. But the thing about it is that, look, agriculture has to be taken seriously. And people, I hope that this crisis brings it to the authorities that agriculture can, that different attitude. I heard people from the Ministry of Agriculture on the calling program, the other one, calling program, to say many times that we could produce an abundance of things here that we import. Years ago, I remember the late Edward Cumberbatch talking about that donkey years ago, 40, 50 years ago, he was talking about that. And he was talking, making sense. But nobody took him on at the time. And we could, I agree that, but why is it, Mr. Ellis? I know that labor costs is high, yes. Why is it, I can pass plantations that I, in bush now. Nobody's growing anything at all on them at all. We're importing. Oh, we're going to borrow money to pay for imported food. That makes sense. But there's a certain attitude. And I believe, too, next question, problem is the importers, their benefit. So there's no incentive, really. You can import a container of green dry peas. So, and get your loan, import some rice, and sell them and market them and so on. But it's easier than to go and plant them on the plantation and pay people.
Okay, thank you very much.